The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many. As a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him shouting, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as the Church begins this octave of prayer for Christian unity, about the way we should be reflective of the triune loving communion whom we adore, we see the exact opposite in today's first reading. It's so key for us to grasp the poisonous aspect of envy. The Book of Wisdom 2:24 describes that the devil fell because of envy, and those who are in his possession experience it. That what the devil first wants to do is to make people in his own image, and the whole reason for the fall of the devil was envy. He envied the human race, having foresight that Jesus would become one of us. It's also one of the things that can, frankly, attack most women's religious communities. Remember when I was a baby priest asking Father Joseph Henchy, one of the greatest living priests, a stigmatine for many years. He always would spend a summer going from one religious community of women to the next, preaching retreats. When I was asked to do my first, I asked, "What do I need to know?" And he said, in guys' religious communities, what the devil tries to use to divide is always pride. He says, but in women's religious communities, Raj, look out, because the capital sin in a woman's religious community, the way the devil tries to work, is always through envy first. What is envy? Envy is sadness at another's success, anger at God and at the recipient for the blessings God has given. So we need to focus on it straight out. Today's first reading helps us. Saul and his armies come back after defeating the Philistines. The women from each of the cities came on out with extraordinary adulation for King Saul, singing and dancing with tambourines, joyful songs and sistrums, saying, "Saul has slain his thousands." Let's just stop there. He was a hero. He was a triumphant returning king. Women were idolizing him. If he had any vanity whatsoever, how much that would stroke it. But he couldn't be happy, because the next sentence was, "David his 10,000s." And he grew angry and resentful at that song, the text tells us. It would be like a basketball team in which they had just won the championship, and they're coming and they're talking about, who knows, the center, saying, "He averages 35 points a game. He's an all-star. He's a champion." But then after that, they said there's somebody else who averages 36 points a game, and that he would therefore become envious. And rather than joyful at winning the championship, rather than happy at the cooperation that led to it, he would be saddened. David, you know, slew those tens of thousands to make Saul victorious, to make the Lord victorious. And Saul just couldn't be happy. Pope Francis, prior to the papacy, would speak an awful lot about envy as a Jesuit retreat master. And he tried to identify one of the telltale signs of the work of the devil in making us envious. And he said that somebody who is envious can't tolerate sharing success, can't be joyful for a team victory, because one wants all the credit. And I think he's right. We see a little bit of this sin of envy between the lines in today's gospel. Everybody was coming to Jesus. And we get a little bit of a geography lesson of the Holy Land, which we might not know if we have never really been there and traveled extensively through the country. But people were coming to him from Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. But people were coming from Jerusalem, right there in Judea, from Idumea, way down in the desert, to the south, from beyond the Jordan on the flip side, what we would now call Jordan proper, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon, way up in the pagan territories to the north. It would be like here in New York if people were coming from the Canadian border in Maine, all the way out to Ohio, all the way down to North Carolina and beyond, and so many fishermen were coming in from the east. Everybody was coming to Jesus. People were having massive conversions. So many of the lame, the sick, the blind, the possessed were being cured. And rather than rejoicing, so many of the religious leaders, as we see yesterday, were resentful, were envious, and were now plotting with the laxists who didn't want to convert to murder Jesus. This is sin of envy we see in the beginning. We see it with Cain versus Abel. We see it with Saul versus David. We'll see it throughout. What's the response in this time of Christian octave we need to build up the virtuous muscles? First one, I think, is to really celebrate others' successes, to look for it, not to be threatened by it, to know how much it pleases the Lord. Second is real humility. Probably most of you have the devotion to pray Cardinal Mary Del Valle's beautiful litany of humility, which is the toughest prayer, frankly, ever written. And when you start praying those words and really meaning it, Lord, that others be chosen and I set aside, that others may be esteemed more than I, that others may be loved more than I, that type of humility allows us not to find in others' success, in others' blessing, a personal threat. Leads to the third point. The reason why jealousy and envy are sinful is they violate Psalm 23. Jealousy, as you know, can be okay. We can have a holy jealousy when we pray to the Lord that we might be able to pray like someone else, to help us a little bit, that we can be as patient as someone else. As long as it's not dividing us from another, some of the times these types of qualities can lift us up. Envy is always this sadness or anger at another's being good, rather than saying, help me to be more patient like that person. We start wishing somebody ill because we don't think it's possible. Jealousy and envy are both sinful, though. That's why they have to be confessed. because we begin to believe that we're only going to be happy if we have what we presently don't. When we pray, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack for nothing," if we really have that treasure in the Lord, and we're not going to lose the Lord, then if we don't have the other's patience, if we don't have the other's 10,000s, we're still quite good, because we know with the Lord we're already super rich. As we enter more deeply into this octave of Christian unity, we can look at the history of the division in the church and see some of the ways in which God would want us to start. For centuries, Catholics and Protestants competed against each other. We would be sad if we heard that some pagan had become a Protestant, and they would fear for the salvation of some great sinner who practiced nothing becoming a Catholic. Envy really constituted those relationships. Even here in the United States, when, for example, so many in Latin America, where Pope Francis is today, were joining what we derisively labeled the Protestant sects, so many were really concerned. They were joining the Protestant sects because the Catholics, for the most part, were building wells and schools and hospitals, but not proclaiming Jesus Christ, and they had an extraordinary hunger for Jesus. And we were upset and derogatory rather than celebrating. So much of the division was propagated and advanced precisely through the type of envy that the Lord wants to battle. And so real ecumenism begins by recognizing the blessings that God has given, to celebrate the Lord who gives those blessings, to celebrate with those who have received them, and allowing God to continue to do his work, because it's through that gratitude, through that celebration, that the Lord can inch us closer together. The most important way he does is by making us one in the Eucharist we're about to receive. Thank you.